If you run a business large or small, get ready to take a lot of notes, because it's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC in the New York, New Jersey metro area and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. This show, as our listeners know, is about real ideas, real people, real businesses, and incredible success stories on 77 WABC. This show is about sharing business ideas and marketing strategies to be successful and get ahead in today's business world. Each week we have an incredible guest. Last week's guest was unreal. The feedback has been off the charts. It was Captain Chesley Burnett Sully Sullenberger. That was just some interview where he shared all types of ideas on leadership, teamwork. We talked about some of the news of the day, the new movie that's coming out that will Tom Hanks is featuring is will be starring as Captain Sullenberger. We talked about that. We talked about the runway length at LaGuardia. Not everything necessarily has everything to do that has to do with business at hand. Much of the interview did have to do with business directly, but it was certainly a fascinating interview in terms of everything that we covered. 2 weeks ago, we had on Matt Britton, the CEO of MRY and the author of the book Youth Nation. Every week is an incredible guest that we have with us, and this week is no different. We have on the line with us none other than Stephen Aldrich, the Senior Vice President of Applications at GoDaddy. Stephen, are you there?
I am here.
First, some background about our guest. Steve is an entrepreneur and business leader who helped grow multiple companies. His experience includes creating and growing teams, improving the customer service experience, building partnerships, and leading acquisitions. Steve's career includes a 10-year stint at Intuit. Currently, he's the Senior Vice President of Applications at GoDaddy. Steve oversees a team that is focused on GoDaddy's mission of greatly enabling small businesses to grow and thrive in a global economy. Two companies that Mr. Aldrich founded were purchased by Intuit and GoDaddy. With that intro, we give a warm welcome to Stephen Aldrich. Stephen, how are you?
Great. Thank you so much for having me. You've got a bunch of distinguished guests, and hope this show lives up to the billing.
I'm sure it will. And again, thank you for being with us on Mind Your Business on 77 WABC. Well, before we get into your current role as Senior Vice President at GoDaddy, and in doing research for this show, we noted that you actually built and sold two companies to very large corporations. Could you share with the audience some key lessons about those experiences?
Yeah, I think the first lesson in building a company that's attractive to another company is solve an important problem. And the first company was solving a problem that I had personally encountered, which was, how the heck do you buy auto insurance in a way that doesn't make your head hurt? Hmm. And this was back almost 20 years ago now, when you had to call multiple companies, get the quotes yourself, write them down on a piece of paper, compare them. And by the time you finished all that, you were almost as confused as when you started. Hmm. And our job was trying to figure out, gosh, how do we make that easier? What is it that's going to make the ability to shop for insurance simple, give you choice, give you confidence in what you're going to purchase, give you the best cost, and hopefully come out the back end with feeling good that you have, in fact, the policy that's right for you. So that's kind of lesson one, is solve an important problem. And then lesson two, build that company with the idea that you're going to run it forever. Because if you're building a company with the idea that you're eventually going to sell it to someone else, the mindset of both you, but also the people you hire, are more short-term than they should be. And so what we always did was we started thinking about, what problem are we going to solve? How do we build a company that's going to be here to last? And then if an opportunity came along that helped us accelerate that vision by teaming up with another company that had either a bigger brand or more capital than we did that could help us grow, then we would take that offer if it was attractive. So I think those are two main things to keep in mind.
It's very interesting how you put it so well, and this is usually one of the serious mistakes that people that want to kind of flip a business, you said it so well, build it like you want to run it forever. Maybe you could just, I just love the way you said it.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, because I've been asked that question by entrepreneurs who are saying, I'm thinking about selling my business. What should I do to prepare it for sale? Like, well, make sure the business is running well. Like, at the end of the day, the reasons that businesses get bought could be you have a fantastic business that's growing like crazy and someone needs it to be part of their portfolio. Another reason is you've built a technology that no one else can replicate. But often, it's a lot about, do you have a great team? Do you have customers that love your product or service? Do you have something that's unique and identifiable in the market so that when a potential partner or when a potential acquirer is out there looking for a company that does what you do, you stand out. And I think that, to me, is what building great businesses is all about and gives you a lot of options, whether you decide to stay independent, raise more capital from investors, borrow money, sell the company, perhaps if it gets big enough, go public. Those are all at the same time, one key product of building something that is built to last.
Okay. So, Steve, let's fast forward a little to your current position as Senior Vice President of Business Applications at GoDaddy. It seems like a lot of what you do is online productivity. Perhaps you can elaborate on that a little bit for our audience.
Absolutely. So small businesses, and in the U.S. alone, there are almost 30 million small businesses, and around the world, over 200 million. And there's been just a giant change in the environment in which we operate today. And I'm a small business success story with how I've come through my entrepreneurial adventures, but I also continue to talk with small business owners day in, day out, and spend a bunch of time as the head of a local nonprofit that's a small business. So I see this from both perspectives, that of a company serving small businesses and from the perspective of the small business owners themselves. And all the small businesses want to do is make their customers happy and bring home enough money to fulfill the dreams that they have, whether it's be able to buy a bigger house, put their kids through college, donate to the charities they care about, retire at a reasonable age. And when you look at what the small business owner has to do day in, day out to do that simple thing, make their customers happy, it turns out to involve a bunch of different tasks that they never thought they'd have to deal with, like running email or keeping your website up and going or figuring out how do you advertise on the web, or keeping your books up to date and sending invoices and making sure you get paid. Like, all of these things that actually take time away from why the business owner started the business in the first place, which was building on their expertise to go help customers. And so what has happened over the past couple of years is a whole series of new services have emerged that relieve the small business owner of the burden of having to be an expert in all these areas that are just ancillary to why they got into business to start. So a couple of things that we do every day are now helping get that small business owner to take a domain, take their identity on the web, and connect an email address to it, and not have to worry about where does the server live? How much space do I have left? Is the number of connections available to me up and running? Like, all of that stuff, let's just take that off of the small business owner's shoulders, and we can run a service for you that makes that simple and easy. So that'd be one example of a productivity service, what we think of every day as email, but something that's really near and dear to most small businesses' hearts.
Mm-hmm. Now, with the surge of technology over the last couple of years, how would you categorize the productivity and efficiency of a small business today, in 2015, versus, say, 15, 20 years ago?
Yeah, well, I didn't have a cell phone 20 years ago, and I don't know about you guys. I think I may have known a couple of people that had big bricks that were maybe attached to their car still back in the mid-90s. But that particular device and the ability now to be connected to information, to your colleagues, to your schedule in real time is just a giant leap in making people more productive. There's a double-edged sword to this, and we'll come back to that maybe in a couple of minutes. Mm-hmm. But the ability to have a device with you at all times that allows you to answer a client's question, to take a phone call from a client, or to answer an email to a prospect and get them quickly a proposal based on something they need, that's something that just didn't exist 20 years ago. So the interesting thing is the mobile phone by itself started out just as a device for a phone call. If you look at it today, you know, most of us are carrying around a dramatically more powerful computer on our person in that mobile phone than we had on our desktops even a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that opens up the opportunity to run applications on your phone. Well, those applications need information. Where does that information live? It now lives in the cloud. So this whole concept of mobile devices are connected to the applications on your phone, which are connected to the data that's now stored in the cloud out there on a server somewhere. And you don't have to worry about it as a small business. But once you put your proposals onto the web, onto something like OneDrive or Dropbox or Box, you can store that information on the web. You can access it from your phone at any time. And now you're never in a place where you can't answer a client's question. You're never in a spot where you can't respond to that customer to make sure that they are confident that you're going to deliver them a great service or the product on time. So I think that's really the sea change here is you have a combination of mobile devices that access all the information that you need to run your business so that you are dramatically more prepared to help a customer at any time, at any place. Does that make sense?
I mean, absolutely.
Know,
And 2 weeks ago, our guest on the Mind Your Business show was Matt Britton, the CEO of MRY. I mean,
yes.
He, if there's someone that could speak about this, and his book Youth Nation, of course, is a very popular book, and he goes right to the core of everything you said.
Yeah, what's interesting is that the businesses that are starting today are taking full advantage of the cloud. Like there's no compunction for a 25-year-old business entrepreneur to have all of their documents in the cloud, have all of their emails stored up on the web, send electronic invoices, get paid via PayPal. I mean, that stuff is second nature to the next generation of entrepreneurs. I'm a little bit older than that. I didn't grow up with all of those tools, and so I've had to learn how to take advantage of some of these new technologies. How do I incorporate them into my day-to-day work? And we're still seeing the adoption curve of the web by small businesses. A stat that blew me away that we recently did a survey and found that still about half of the small businesses out there don't have a website. And so when I think about that adoption curve still being at a state where one out of two businesses haven't yet gone to the web so they can be found easily on a search, that means we still have a ways to go to make this easier for small businesses, but also make sure that businesses are aware that this is stuff that will help them run their business or grow their business right now.
That is so fascinating. You had done a survey. Half of small businesses do not yet have a website. I'm shocked. I'm shocked.
And it breaks down a lot by the maturity of the business. Many business owners that have been around for a decade or two decades mm-hmm. feel like they're well known and therefore don't really need to be out on the web. But as consumers come and move into the area, as people are searching for a service provider or a place to eat, your reputation and your referrals are really important. But having that additional step of having a place that you can call your own on the web and tell your own story, and then that gets found by folks doing searches again on their phone when they're in your neighborhood or on their desktop search when they're looking for a service provider with a great reputation, and they can look at your phone number and your email and your contact info and follow up and find out more about you. So yeah, it's hard to believe but true, and so part of what I think about here is just making sure folks are aware that it's easy to do, it's inexpensive, and it's part of what I think of as the toolkit for the modern business owner to stay successful and build their business for the long term.
So, such important advice from Steve Aldrich, Senior Vice President of Applications at GoDaddy. I just want to remind the listeners, you're tuned to the Mind Your Business show with Yitzhak Saftlis right here on 77 WABC and online at wabcbizradio.com. Well, Steve, it's no secret that we're all, constantly connected, checking emails, monitoring sales, and plugged into our businesses kind of day and night. Perhaps you could share with us your approach to the work-life balance.
Yeah, this is a favorite topic of mine. I think it's one of those double-edged swords that we are now connected, and therefore, you know, expectations are quite high from our both clients, our prospects, and of course our family, that we'll be able to respond at any time to a question or request. And so I think the idea of balance implies something that's just not possible, which is this perfect equilibrium between work and life. I think I have reframed that so that I stay sane to think much more about I'm trying to integrate work and life. Like any time that I can be at work and I take a call for my wife, or any time I can be out and about doing something, for example, watching my son's soccer game where it's maybe halftime and I can quickly answer a couple of emails, I want to bring these two things together. And so the idea of balance implies an artificial separation. And I think one of the keys here is to be thoughtful about how do you bring them together while setting at the same time a couple of boundaries. So a few things that I do is, number one, I try to get my proactive work done first thing in the morning. So I'll chunk out some time on my calendar where I won't respond to emails. I won't respond to messages that are coming in. I will go find a spot and spend that first part of my day when I know I can be very productive getting progress made on a project or getting a letter out or getting a quote done or working on a presentation for a talk. So that's an important piece, and many people turn out to be very productive early in the morning. So if possible, making that peak productivity time focused on your proactive work you have to get done that you've decided is important versus what someone else has put on you as their urgent need allows you to have a protected period of the day where you can kickstart some of those critical deliverables. And then the second thing I try to do is chunk up my day into pieces of time that I'm going to meet with clients or prospects. I'm going to meet with my staff. I'm going to make sure that I schedule some social time for my network at lunch. I have to eat lunch, so let's schedule that in and get folks to interact with me then that I want to stay in touch with. And that gives me more of a feeling of control. Now, I'm always going to have emergencies that pop up. I'm always going to have to respond to things. But if I can proactively take control of at least parts of my day, it allows me to have that opportunity to get things done that at the end of the day are going to make me feel like, number one, I'm being successful, and number two, that I'm in control. And those are things that the human condition responds really favorably to. If you feel like you're in control, it gives you much a better outcome, a much better psychological outlook on how you're doing at work.
We're speaking with Mr. Stephen Aldrich, Senior Vice President of Applications at GoDaddy, right here on the Mind Your Business program with Yitzhak Seftlis on 77 WABC. We're going to take a short commercial break, and we'll be back with Stephen Aldrich in a moment. Stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your services and programs. It has to deliver just the right message, the right way, to make customers excited about what you offer and interested in working with you. Online, you have to be on the money to make the money. So go with the best, Website with Brains. Their experienced team will plan, write, design, and program a winning website that combines simplicity and flexibility with powerful features that will make you the king of content marketers. And they make it so easy. All of their websites are made with an easy, user-friendly interface. Website with Brains will have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Take control of your online marketing today. Call Website with Brains for a free consultation and see how they can improve your online presence. 1-800-WEB-9018. That's 1-800-WEB-9018. Or visit them online at websitewithbrains.com.
We're back on the Mind Your Business program with Yitzhak Seftlis right here on 77 WABC. Yeah, it's easy to connect with me on LinkedIn. You can follow me on Twitter, Y Seftlis, that's the handle. Like me on Facebook, Yitzhak Seftlis. We have, I guess, the biggest advantage to following me on the various social media posts is you get the inside track on the upcoming guests that we'll have in the upcoming weeks. On the line with us is none other than Mr. Stephen Aldrich, the Senior Vice President of Applications at GoDaddy, And we're so grateful he carved out some of his very precious time to be with us. Stephen, GoDaddy is such an impressive and evolving company. Perhaps it's most known for its domain name services. Here's an interesting question, a question that we at Bottom Line Marketing Group are asked frequently. What's the difference between the domain name extensions, .com, .net, and some of the new ones being rolled out? How would you define that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I get that question a lot also from small businesses and actually businesses of all sizes. So everyone's wondering. So if you rewind the clock just a couple of years, there were only a few of these extensions. And the industry term for this is a generic top-level domain. Mm-hmm. So these domain names that end in .com, they end in .edu if you're an educational institution, .org for nonprofits. And there were a handful of others, but that was about it. And what started to happen a few years ago is businesses were having a harder time finding the perfect name for them when they were limited to just those couple of top-level domains. And so two things happened. One, a bunch of new countries started to come online saying, hey, we want to have a geography-based code for a top-level domain name. So you started to see the rollout of .us, for example, for the United States, .de for Germany, .uk for the United Kingdom, and on and on and on. And so now you've got well over 100 what are called country code top-level domains. And we're seeing in places like India, for example, .in is a very popular extension, a popular domain name extension. And that, in turn, opens up a whole new set of names for businesses to go out and add to their portfolio. If they're a new business, they can perhaps find a name that would have been taken on a .com but can now be found on a country code top-level domain. And then the second thing that happened was people started to want to signal intent or type of business that was available for both the small business to purchase, but also more broadly for people to search on and try to figure out, hey, I'm looking for a restaurant. Why isn't there a dot restaurant? Or why isn't there a dot menu? And so there was a whole host of new top-level domains that have come out that signal intent, and some of them location as well. There's dot Vegas and dot London that aren't countries but specific cities. And you've got dot taxi and dot home, dot casa, dot soy. So a whole series of new top-level domains. And at the end of the day, what we think is important is the small business gets the name that represents their business the best, whether it's a .com, a country code top-level domain, or one of the new generic top-level domains. You'll find the name that's right for you. The search engines are going to find those names, whether it's a .com or a country code domain or a generic top-level domain. So pick the one that's right for you, and you can go search very, very simply at GoDaddy, for example. I do a lot of searching with friends, and we look for all sorts of names. And what's neat is we'll try to guess what you're looking for. And so I just, for sake of a demo, typed in ice cream on the top-level domain, and I can't get icecream.com, but I can get icecream.club, or I can get icecream.cafe or sherbert.cafe is available. So I start to think about, hey, for my ice cream shop, what's the right name that's going to fit for me? And so I can get icecream.restaurant. So what's interesting about that is many more choices. They're at slightly different prices. So these new domain names can range anywhere from the usual .com, which is around $15 per year, to something like icecream.club. That's a premium domain, and someone's selling that for $7,000. Right now on GoDaddy.com. So wide range of choices hopefully opens up something that you get excited about as a business owner, and then you can choose one that fits your price point as well.
Yeah, this is really fascinating information, especially for someone like myself and our team at Bottom Line Marketing Group, because marketing is obviously all about positioning, and with a really great domain name and even the extension, you're suddenly positioning yourself right from the get-go, right to your site.
Yeah, that's so important to connect your identity to your domain, and that goes back to this idea of a website, but it also connects into your email and your social media handles. every touch point with a customer is an opportunity for you to build your brand. And we found that if you have a custom domain attached to your email address, you have a 9 times higher response rate from customers or prospects in terms of their willingness to buy than if you used a generic email address. So to make that concrete, let's say, I'm a glass shop. So one of my hobbies is glass blowing and glass collecting. If I had glassshop@gmail.com versus Stephen@glassshop.com, mm-hmm. my customers are going to be 9 times more likely to buy from me on that second example where I actually have a domain name that's my own than if I was using a generic like at Gmail or at AOL or at Yahoo. And that's because customers know that you've put the time into building that brand. That's a brand that signifies that you're a business and you're not a tiny shop that's using a generic name that you probably got for free. And so it's really important that you connect all those components of your brand identity together, your domain, your website, your email address. You know, that all works together to make you look the best you possibly can to your customers and your prospects.
Oh, what an important statistic. Again, 9 times, as you had mentioned, that the survey had shown that a customer is more inclined to purchase from a company where their email address is the company name as opposed to just a Gmail, an AOL, et cetera.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Yeah, it's really a stunning statistic. And when you think about it, again, it comes back down to you're signifying trust in your brand and you're building that relationship with customers every time you exchange an email with them, every time they come to your website, every time they interact with you on social media. So connecting the dots for that customer, being consistent and professional, is really important.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that the statistic came as a surprise to me, but it's just fascinating. It's backed up. I mean, if I had to guess, I would say maybe 5 times or 6 times, but 9 times, it's so powerful. Beyond the domain name business that GoDaddy, of course, offers, they have an entire suite of services, and of particular interest for our listeners is the online bookkeeping product. Can you elaborate on that one?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we found is small businesses, again, get into business to do what they love, and usually bookkeeping, unless you're a CPA or an accountant or bookkeeper, is not at the top of that list. You know, I happen to be someone who loves numbers, but most small businesses don't have the time to go learn all of the tricks of the trade and deal with the traditional double entry accounting systems that exist. So what we found was that we could help today's businesses who had online banking accounts or online credit cards where their expenses were being automatically tracked already in an account on the web with your bank or your credit card, or your revenues being tracked through PayPal, or if you sold on an online marketplace like Etsy or eBay or Amazon, that your data was already digital. And what we found was that customers were confused and then didn't want to take the time once they learned it to build out a spreadsheet, download the data themselves, rekey it, print it out, and type it in. And what GoDaddy did, and this was the company that I had been running before I came to GoDaddy, and became the GoDaddy online bookkeeping product, is we went out and connected to all these different data sources on behalf of that small business owner, brought in their revenue, brought in their expense, and kept them up to date on both their mobile phone and on their web application on how am I doing? Like, what's working, what's not working in my business? And they could turn that into a very simple Schedule C worksheet. So at the end of the year, that small business owner would be able to see how they were doing and along the way check in on how their profitability is going. So just reduced the burden that small businesses had to keep in touch with how their business results were trending. And we found there to be a lot of excitement and interest in making that easier and simpler for the small business owner to know at any moment, how am I doing so I can do better?
Mm. Another fascinating tool that I found on the suite of tools on the GoDaddy site is the one that helps small businesses automate their SEO. I think it's called Get Found. Can you elaborate? Fascinating tool. I mean, everyone always talks about SEO. There are companies that do it, but you seem to have some product that automates it. Can you elaborate?
Yeah, we have two related products. One is called Get Found, and one is called Search Engine Visibility. And they do slightly different things. for the most part, we think every business that has a website wants to make sure that that website is really at its best when someone is searching for your business. And at its best means it has information that's clearly searchable by someone like a Google or a Bing search engine. It's something that shows clearly what services you provide. It's clear in terms of how to find you and connect with you over time. And so we have the ability to analyze how your website's doing. We can walk you through ways to make the website more clear and transparent so that the search rankings take into account all the information that you have on the web, and then you can publish it and keep it up to date over time. So that's the search engine visibility product. And we have another product that's similar but more tailored towards businesses that have a presence where you've got a location and you've got a series of information around that business where you want to get found. Either you're a brick-and-mortar business, you're a service business that serves your local area, or maybe you're online only, and we do primarily brick-and-mortar and local service area the best. So this is something where you might have a menu if you're a restaurant, or a series of services if you're a spa, for example, or a salon, and we can collect all that data, republish it out to a number of different places on the web that prospects may be looking for you, like a Google or a Yellow Pages or Facebook or Yelp, and we make sure that information stays accurate. So your location, your phone number, your operating hours. So that's really the goal of the Get Found product is, you know, you're a business, you need people to find you, and in particular, you're serving a location, and then the search engine visibility is one that helps make sure that you're optimized for when search engines try to find you and serve up results on their website that your business puts its best foot forward.
Pretty amazing tools by the GoDaddy suite. We're speaking with Stephen Aldridge, the Senior Vice President of Applications at GoDaddy, right here on the Mind Your Business program with Yisroch Saftless on 77 WABC. We're going to take a short commercial break and back with the program in a moment. Stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your services and programs. It has to deliver just the right message, the right way, to make customers excited about what you offer and interested in working with you. Online, you have to be on the money to make the money. So go with the best. Website with Brains. Their experienced team will plan, write, design, and program a winning website that combines simplicity and flexibility with powerful features that will make you the king of content marketers. And they make it so easy. All of their websites are made with an easy, user-friendly interface. Website with Brains will have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Take control of your online marketing today. Call Website with Brains for a free consultation and see how they can improve your online presence. 1-800-WEB-9018. That's 1-800-WEB-9018. Or visit them online at websitewithbrains.com.
On the line with us on the Mind Your Business program is Stephen Aldridge, the Senior Vice President of Applications at GoDaddy. And we very much appreciate the time that he's willing to share with us and the listeners of the Mind Your Business program. Well, here's a question I'm sure you get frequently, and that is, how important is it for a business who already has a website, those 50%, that already have a website, how important is it that they have fresh content and it's updated on a regular basis?
Oh, yeah, it's a fantastic question, and you're right. I get it all the time, and I recognize it's very challenging to keep fresh content up on a website, and for that matter, even to keep fresh content up for an email marketing newsletter, which we can talk about as well, which is another key tool in the small business owner's toolkit. But it's critical for a couple of reasons. One, when people come to your site, they want to be educated. They want to be shown the expertise that you have as a business owner. And keeping the site content up to date is going to give customers and prospects a reason to come back and check in on what's new, what's interesting, and what have you learned recently that you're going to share with your audience. Second, that new content is a signal to, again, these search engines as to the vitality of the business. So keeping that content fresh and updated gives those search engines a signal that, in fact, you know, your business is going strong and that you have something to offer in terms of content that searchers would want to see. The third piece that's, I think, particularly important is that content can actually be repurposed for other communications with your customers and clients. So let me give an example. You can put together an email newsletter. That newsletter is going to be something that you, as the small business owner, are an expert in. You know a lot more about your topics than your clients do, so share it with them. Put it into a newsletter format. Send that out, I would say, on a regular basis. Typically, once a month is enough. It can be a paragraph to two paragraphs. Doesn't have to be more than that. And you can reuse that as your trigger to update the content on your website. Putting a video in your website is fantastic, especially now as more and more people are using their mobile phones to find people's websites and consume that content, and that can be repurposed across social as well. So content refresh is critical. Boy, there's just a lot of interesting stuff we could talk through there if we wanted to go deeper. So, yes, very important because it keeps people coming back and improves your ability to get found on the web.
So just taking that a step further, I mean, obviously keeping it updated is critical and keeping the content fresh as we discussed. But at what point do you recommend businesses, small businesses, to totally redo their website? Meaning, is there a specific time where it's after X amount of years, months, whatever it is, that you say, okay, now it's time to, you know, modernize, take it to the next level?
Yeah, that's a fantastic and difficult question to answer. The web seems to go through different design paradigms every couple of years. So I don't know if you all recall a couple of years ago, there was a design concept that you'd never have to scroll on a web page. Everything should be above the fold.
Right.
Well, with more and more people now accessing your page on a mobile phone, and the way that the Facebook news feed works, like infinite scrolling is now just assumed. So that changed what your website should look like, from everything has to be above the fold and compact to the ability to scroll through lots of content vertically on the page. So when changes like that happen, if you're trying to fit all your stuff above the fold and now the sites that your customers interact with outside of your site are scrolling infinitely, something doesn't quite click with the visitor. So that means it's probably time to look at a redesign. So that's externally driven. You also might think about if your business has new clients, your business has a new line of business, new people have joined, you have a new idea that you want to communicate, that may lead to, well, if you've got that going on inside of the business, should your external look change? And this isn't something that should happen many, many times, but I think the rule of thumb should be if you haven't looked at your site in 2 years, go back and take a look at it, compare how it looks and feels to some of the other sites you like to visit regularly, and see if some of the modern conventions that have been updated around navigation, around color schemes, around the content even that you're telling about your site are still how you want to represent your company on the web.
I have to interject, it's Yitzhak here, and to give a thank you to Pesach Trapper, the producer of the show, and the folks at Byte for getting us together. You have such great insight. And it may come simple to you or just rolls off the tongue, but to so many people out there, this is just really incredible perspective. We're not done yet, but I just have to interject and thank you. Really, it's great stuff, Steve. Thank you.
A lot of this comes from talking to small business owners. I spend a ton of time with our contact center folks in Arizona. One of the great things about GoDaddy that I love and just blown away every time I go visit is we have folks who are available on phone 24/7 every day of the year, and they're there to help our customers, and it's included free with all the products that we sell. If a small business owner has a question about how to do something, if they don't think something's working quite right, they don't have to go muck about trying to figure it out. They can pick up the phone and call our team. And I think the fact that we've got thousands and thousands of care folks standing by to help our customers is a huge benefit for the small business owner. And they teach me a bunch because I go to our team in Arizona or Iowa here for the U.S. We've got a team in London that handles Europe. We've got a team in India that answers calls from businesses based in India. It's just a fantastic luxury, I think, for a small business owner to have someone available to help them get through whatever questions they've got about their small business presence whenever they need it.
Yeah, it sure is. And in case anyone's just tuning in now, you could hear, tomorrow morning you'll be able to hear the podcast of the show at WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com, and hear the entire interview with Steve Aldrich, the Senior Vice President of Applications at GoDaddy. Now, as mentioned earlier in the interview, GoDaddy is continuously expanding its services, providing, if you will, a one-stop shop for its customers. From your vantage point at GoDaddy, can you share a suggestion or two that a business can actually learn from GoDaddy and apply in its own business setting?
Yeah, we really think hard about how do we make our customers' lives better. I mean, our vision, to set the context for my answer here, our vision is to radically shift the global economy towards small businesses by empowering people to start, grow, and run their venture. And at the center of that vision is the customer. And so anytime we think of a new product, a new service, changing the way we do things, we ground it back to, well, what are our customers going to think? And not just generic customers, but what is a specific customer that we can think of going to think about this change? And I think bringing that to the folks listening to this program and trying to make this very concrete, when you're thinking about introducing a new product, when you're thinking about a marketing campaign, who do you have in mind as that target customer? And if you can articulate who that customer is, why they would think this is a good idea, and then be able to act on that. And anytime you have a debate about, all right, are we doing the right thing or not, go back to that customer in your head and say, you know, what would they say? And in fact, you can carry it one step further. And actually, before you make those changes, go share your proposed changes with a few customers and get their feedback. It's way cheaper to change something before you launch it than trying to make changes in real time and on the fly once a product or service is already out the door. So I'm a big, big believer in understanding your customers, getting a customer in your head as a target for any changes you make, and then going and talking to them. So that I think is what almost every small business I've spent time with is here to do. It's, you know, make their customers delighted and just build that into how you run your business day in, day out. And I think it gives people a huge boost knowing that you've asked them their opinion, you've kept them informed, and then when the changes do happen, you've done the best you can to map that experience to a real-life customer.
Yeah, I have to add that even as a obviously as a marketing company that consumes domains and actually builds websites, the interaction with GoDaddy is incredible from a communication standpoint. That means, like, let's say our company has, 50 to 60 domain names. When it comes time for the renewal, there's one reminder, a second reminder, a third reminder. And to the point where if, let's say, it's about to lapse, there'll even be a phone call that comes. That like and that's appreciated because, let's say, for example, the email had gone down. I mean, it's something drastic or mm-hmm. whatever the case is. I mean, GoDaddy's taking the approach that, like, okay, we're not just going to let this lapse and make believe it just sails away into the wind. Say, we're going to do whatever it takes to communicate with the customer to make sure that, like, you know, if he wants to let it lapse, okay, it will lapse. But we want to make sure it doesn't just disappear off the radar screen without us communicating effectively. I mean, that's another takeaway, I would say, of interacting with GoDaddy.
Yeah, that's a great story, and that's a great example of, we've now worked with so many customers. We've got 13 million customers around the world and 59 million domain names amongst those 13 million customers. You know, every one of those names is critical to every one of those customers.
Right.
And so we want to make sure that, you know, before anything changes in your relationship with that domain and with GoDaddy, that you know about it. So we work very hard to try to make that that communication open and transparent. And if you need to pick up the phone and talk to us, great. And sometimes, as you said, we'll pick up the phone and call you and say, mm-hmm. hey, did you know this is about to happen? Let's talk about it.
Yeah. Now, I've seen you've talked about this topic, so I want to bring it up. Recently, there's been all types of discussion if email is antiquated and if it will eventually be replaced. Now, it's true there are, you know, many other ways of communicating today, to social media, maybe webinars, to name a few. What's your take on the future of email?
email continues to be a really important communications for both one-to-one and one-to-many for the business owner. One of the things that we found is that even with the advent of social media, chat applications, messaging applications, that the volume of email continues to grow. And we think that's true because it's a permanent asynchronous record, meaning I can send you an email. You don't have to be right then in front of your computer for you to get it. And most people are now storing their email so they can go back and search on it over time. And that turns out to be a really efficient way to remember conversations, to be able to keep a thread of dialogue going over time. And so we continue to see email both as a one-to-one communication to get business done or one-to-many for things like an email newsletter to keep informed about what's happening with the small business. And I liken back to banking as an analogy here. So when ATMs came about and then online banking came about, there was a strong view that, well, tellers are going to go away, physical bank branches are going to go away. And what's happened is physical bank branches are still here. Now we have ATMs, now we have online banking, now we have mobile banking. And I think email is going to be continuing to be a critical business application while we add on top of it other communications media as well for social media and messaging apps. So I haven't seen any change in the trends of email usage among small businesses. I haven't seen any change in the trend of email usage for newsletter purposes or email marketing purposes. In fact, we continue to see email marketing being a hugely powerful and very effective way for small businesses to create new business from existing customers because you already have a relationship with that customer. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to see both email marketing and email as a business productivity tool be here for a very long time to come.
Wow. So just overall, what would your prediction be for where the online world, so to speak, is headed over the next couple of years?
Yeah, the online world is experiencing a couple of interesting growth pulls. One is we're seeing more and more people using mobile phones to access web content. So a lot of businesses, as you know, haven't yet gotten to the web, and now the expectation is not only do they have a website, but the website is beautiful when it's looked at on any one of a variety of mobile devices. So one of the to-dos there is make sure, number one, you have a website, and number two, that your website is mobile optimized, to use the words that folks talk about in the industry. Meaning if I look at it on a mobile phone, the content is still clear, I can find your address and phone number and contact information easily, and your images all look good on that mobile device. So that's piece one. Piece two is that small businesses have more and more opportunities to get found through both search engines, but now vertical markets like an Etsy or an eBay or an Amazon. You can get found through a services marketplace or a vertical industry marketplace like an OpenTable. You can go through places like social media through Facebook and LinkedIn and now Instagram and Pinterest with a more visual approach. Small businesses can't do all of those things at once. So the next thing I think for small businesses to do is to think through who is their target customer, just like we talked about a few minutes ago. Where are they likely to be spending time? And then what's the most effective one or two things that I can do really well instead of trying to do everything, and then you wind up not doing any one of them in a compelling way. So I think as a small business owner, you still want to control your identity. You want to have a domain and a place that you can call your own and build out and keep complete authority over what that presence looks like on the web. And then pick, in addition to that, an additional one or two areas where you're going to go find and stay in touch with your customers.
Now, Steve, earlier in this interview, you've spoken about productivity in the workplace, and I just want to touch on that. I know that's a favorite topic of yours, and in case someone had just tuned in, what takeaways, what recommendations would you have about, again, on that subject of productivity in the workplace?
Yeah, I think a couple of things that have worked well and have been based on some research done out in the marketplace. One, You know, carve out time proactively during the day to get those things done that you have said are important, that are priorities to you, before you go tackle all of the urgent, reactive things that come to you. Much of the research shows that doing that early in the day is strong time. It's very productive time for most people. It's a peak time to get work done. So kick off your day with the most important, most demanding tasks, and you'll find that you'll be happier throughout the day because you're feeling in control, and you'll actually get more done, and that'll give you more time to respond to customers and other urgent issues that come up the rest of the day.
Now, Steve, as we approach the close of this fascinating interview, and I cannot thank you enough for the time you've given for the audience, any final takeaways, any final thoughts for the audience of Mind Your Business?
Well, the most important thing that you can do with your business today is ensure you have an up-to-date, effective online presence. That's the way customers are either finding you directly or going to make sure that your business is a professional one that's projecting the image you want. So make sure your online presence represents your business in the way you expect to be found. And you know, if that's the one thing that you can take away from the show, you'll build that online presence, make sure it's consistent, and that you use it in all the communications on email, on the web, and that will go a long way towards ensuring your business is here for the long run.
Amazing advice. Well, a very special thank you to Stephen Aldridge, the Senior Vice President of Applications at GoDaddy, for sharing some really incredible advice and perspective right here on the Mind Your Business program on 77 WABC. Steve, best of luck in all your endeavors.
Thank you very much. Really enjoyed talking to you all.
Excellent. Thank you, Steve.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, Pesach, Steve, first of all, of course, thank you for landing such a high-profile guest as Stephen Aldridge, the Senior Vice President of Applications at GoDaddy. Any takeaways you'd like to share?
Tons of takeaways. What I especially thought was useful for other businesses is just the trend of online is clearly going only up. Multiple of our members that were here had spoke about that.
Matt Britton, for example, a couple of weeks ago.
Josh Moore from Uber. The trend is clearly there. Businesses really should look at that and capitalize on that before they're left in the dust, because that's clearly where it's going. And he spoke about how the importance of online presences and how that there's still 50% that don't have. So that's definitely a very important takeaway.
Right. And the importance of frequently updating the content.
That's critical.
And I thought he gave incredible tips on when is the time that a company should give a good hard look at doing a brand new site. I mean, that's always a tricky question because, you know, once a business goes through the whole process of building it and developing it and writing it and designing it and the programming and et cetera, so it's, you know, initially it may seem like a daunting task. Again, at bottom line, we kind of make it a very efficient and seamless process, so it shouldn't frustrate a client. But nonetheless, once someone goes through the process, there's also expense involved, and they might feel like, okay, you know, I went through it, I did a site, I'm not going to touch it for 10 years. And he gave very good advice on when to give it a fresh look. I mean, the idea now about scrolling, like you talked about, which is so popular with the WordPress sites.
Right, yeah. That's what all the websites are going. And it's funny how he tied it into the overall trends of how people are consuming their information through social media and mobile, where you're just used to scrolling, and that's kind of the natural thing, which is growing in popularity now.
Wow. Well, as we come to the close of the Mind Your Business program, we remind our listeners we're on every Sunday night at 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. There we go. I get confused with that. 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. right here at 77 on the AM dial and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. Well, this brings to close a really super edition of the Mind Your Business program. We had on Steve Aldridge. In case you missed it, again, go to WABCBizRadio.com. The podcast section is up. You'll also get a chance to hear the incredible interview we had the previous week with Captain Sully Sullenberger, getting such amazing feedback on that. So until next week, I'm signing off here, Yitzhak Saftlis from the Mind Your Business program. Thank you again for joining us, and stay tuned next week for another incredible guest here at 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saftlis. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night from 11 until 12 for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Saftlis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he brings his business and marketing expertise to 77 WABC. Tune in to Mind Your Business every Sunday night from 11 until 12, right here on 77 WABC.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.